Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
How fun to be on Kingdom Pursuits right after the NRB this week. You know, I always come back loaded for bear with all sorts of interesting, wonderful guests to see what God is doing around the world and giving people amazing passions and doing amazing stuff. So to start off with, actually, this gentleman I found through another source is Chad Stewart. And Chad is a big-time advocate of life, I can assure you. And Chad, welcome to Kingdom Pursuits.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Robbie. Glad to be here.
And here we have Unplanned coming out this week. Or did it come out last week? Have you seen the movie yet?
Me? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you asking?
Yeah, Chad.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't. But I've heard some great stuff about it. So I'm not sure when that's being released. That's actually not my project.
I know. You've got another one. And so tell us about yours.
Yeah, so my project is Britfield and the Lost Crown. This is our first in a five-book series. It's 8 years in the works, 4 years to write, 2,500 hours to complete. And we're just in a soft launch now. And really what this is meant to do is really counter the Harry Potter movement or the other mainstream books out there. And it's really geared towards the mainstream audience, but it's really based on biblical principles. It's a phenomenal book. We've had extraordinary feedback, scored a 9.03 out of a scale of 1 to 10 across all demographics. And we've just had amazing feedback from everyone as young as 9 years old to 73 years old. So we're kind of crossing all those different demographics with the book. So, and we hope to follow each book with a major motion picture in probably about 2.5 to 3 years.
Well, I really apologize. Somehow or another, I mixed my notes up and had you mixed up with Marcus Pittman.
But, okay.
And so, yeah, you're the author of Britfield and the Last Crown. You have nothing to do with you may have something to do with being against it, but, you know, your project is this whole idea of Britfield. And, oh, my goodness, what a website you have.
Okay, I mean, that, I'm glad you checked it out.
That
yeah,
thing
amazing.
Is awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it?
And
I say that with great, you know, great excitement, because it's just like, I mean, it was a concept I had like 4 years ago. I spent months putting it together just from concept and picking pictures. And then we finally hired a really great website designers, Studio 98 in Florida. And they took 4 months to put that together. And they actually exceeded my expectations and what I was hoping for it to be delivered. And that's always an exciting moment.
Yeah, it is something to see. So we've got a link to that at kingdompursuits.com.
Awesome.
But I think we ought to talk to Marcus, since I thought I was talking to him, and we'll get him in the conversation, Marcus.
No problem.
Marcus, I'm sorry I had you confused with Chad. I don't know how
that,
but I was flying. I took a red eye out of Los Angeles last night about 10 o'clock, and I came in and did these shows.
No problem at all, man. I'm Marcus. I'm making a movie called Babies Are Still Murdered Here, and a documentary on getting people out to the local city councils and city governments to speak out truthfully and with the gospel about abortion. So that's what I'm doing.
And you're
not writing a book.
You're not writing a book. You've got the movie or it's actually a video, right, that's at YouTube?
Yeah, well, the first movie's out called Babies Are Murdered Here. That movie's been out for about 5 years now and kind of shows how the pro-life movement kind of refuses to use biblical language when they speak about abortion. They want to stay away from the gospel, and they make women who murder their children out to be victims. And so this movie that we're doing now is about, it's called Babies Are Still Murdered Here, and it's about really why the pro-life movement hasn't ended abortion in 45 years.
Wow, that's strong stuff there. So, am I right that you've got another one that's coming out, that it's the Babies Are Still Murdered Here, and so mm-hmm. that's what's going on. And just to round out a very interesting team we got today, we also have Eloy Sherlock. And Eloy...
Robbie.
Yes.
Oh, what a joy it was meeting you over at the NRB convention. And it's just such a pleasure to be here.
And he has this amazing genesis, the biblical music experience. So, you know, sort of the poster child for how does God take your passion and use it to build the kingdom. You have a passion for music, and God gave you this idea about Genesis. And share with our listeners a little bit about what that looks like.
Well, Genesis musical, if you go over to the internet and you go to genesismusical.com, you see our website. But basically, it's in the beginning, God created. And I thought about that, and I realized that if people don't believe in the beginning, God created, then nothing after that matters. Nothing does. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing a couple of tunes, and before you know it, I had all these tunes together, and I started putting it to music, and it started growing and growing. People started coming and seeing it. You saw it the other day, and now we're going ahead. We filmed it. We're looking for distribution. And at that NRB, first, I got to say, that's a wonderful convention. And people came and they said, yes, I want to distribute this movie. I want to distribute it in America. I want to distribute it in China. I want to distribute it in Canada. I want to distribute it in Mexico. I want to distribute it in Korea. So what a great experience.
Yeah, and what a great thing that he had it there. So, you know, we got to get to Robbie's Riddles. Those who normally listen know that there comes a part where I just have to do my shenanigans. So here we go. Speaking of music, I don't know if you've thought about this, but going to bed with music on can give you sound sleep. Just saying. And you know what you call, Rachel, you know what you call a musician who steals sheet music? A kleptomaniac. There you go. And, you know, I had a relative that composed music only in three-quarter time. You believe that, Eloy? You know, they had Walzheimer's disease.
Ah, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be waltzing with your wife.
There you go. Which, and you knew at the end of that I'd actually have a riddle. You can call in and win today. So which musician in the Bible was confronted by a friend spinning a yarn about sheep? Which musician, there's the actual riddle, which musician in the Bible was confronted by a friend who was spinning a yarn about a sheep? 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and win. 866-348-7884. And if they can tell me who this person was, the musician in the Bible, Rachel, tell them what they'll win.
Well, they can win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
There you have it. You can win a book, and all you have to do is call in and answer this. Which musician in the Bible was confronted by a friend spinning a yarn about a sheep? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. So, you know, usually I don't do this kind of thing on Kingdom Pursuits, but hey, Marcus kind of challenged me a little bit, so I'm going to dive in where maybe I shouldn't go, but what the heck? I'm tired. I can do what I want to do today. So, Marcus, you don't apparently believe that women who choose abortion are in any way, shape, or form a victim?
Well, I think women, yeah, right. So women who have an abortion, the Bible says that people are responsible for their own sin.
Absolutely.
And so women who have abortions are murderers, and they're going to be judged by God for murdering their child.
Right. Well, let's just hang on a second. Okay. I'm listening. So, Marcus, have you ever disliked anybody?
Oh, I dislike a lot of people.
Okay. So, are you, according to Jesus' standard, aren't you a murderer?
I am a murderer.
Okay. So,
that's absolutely true. But yeah. I'm not a victim in my murders.
Really?
No. I'm an actual legitimate murderer of heart. I'm not a victim.
Well, we're going to explore that a little bit further.
Okay.
Because I think it's a fascinating conversation, one we need to have. So we're going to talk about that more when we come back. Find out more about the Genesis music experience. And, of course, I know you're wanting to know about Britfield and The Last Crown, which is really, really cool website. Got to check that out. KingdomPursuits.com, so much more coming up. Stay tuned. Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we have a really unique group of folks. We have Chad Stewart, who is the author of Britfield and the Last Crown, which we're going to find out more about that in a minute. We have Marcus Pittman with his movie, They Still Murder Babies Here. Am I right? Is that how they say that, Marcus?
Babies are still murdered here.
Yeah, there you go. And then we have Eloy Sherlock with his Genesis, The Musical Experience, which is more than cool. So getting right back to Chad, how did God, you know, I'm very curious, because this is a beautiful picture. This thing at your website is just outstanding. How did God kind of put this on your heart?
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think we live in such a sort of, if you will, flashover substance society where everybody wants something now, and often, you know, I heard a pastor say years ago that if God completes, you know, something he's promised you in a decade, consider it a miracle. And so this is really 10 years in the works when the seed was first planted in my mind and literally started with a simple doodle of a boy and a girl in a balloon. And the working title at the time was The Boy in the Balloon, which eventually became Britfield and the Lost Crown. And so that's really how this whole thing merged almost 10 years ago. And it's just been a work in progress. And it's all God's timing, which is amazing. And, you know, I was kind of ready to launch a couple years ago, you know, but God just said, nope, you know, not my time. And so I kind of just, you know, put it on the shelf and was just waiting. And I kept active and busy and just tried to do really everything I could until the time was right. And really, it was last July that everything started to come together. And it's been amazing since. We've got an incredible team of 12 separate people, all experts in their own field, everything from research, you know, to marketing, to PR, to connections in the industry. And I mean, we're rolling out right now in sort of Southern California. We're going across the nation. We've got a 250 school book tour where we're coming into schools. We're really trying to push creativity and bringing creativity back into the classroom, which is something that's obviously been pushed out over the last few decades. And so we're really trying to bring creativity back into the classroom. We're really trying to excite individuals about their talents and gifts, especially at the Christian schools, Christian private schools, that God has all given them wonderful talents, has all made them individually unique, to trust their gifts, and also not to worry about failure, you know, and I give a lot of great examples to it. So we have these like 45-minute presentations, and they're just, it's been fantastic. I've done it in front of like about 130 students last week up in LA, which is just amazing. You know, you have 130 12-year-olds. Yikes, right? But they were just excited. They were engaged. I do Q&A, and it's like, I'm not kidding you, 15, 20 hands, and we talk. We have great questions, you know, wonderful questions. Everything from about writing or creativity or about the book or, you know, you name it. And then we actually had to cut it off, you know, so I had time to do the book signings and stuff. And we still had about 10, 15 hands up there. And it's just been wonderful. It's been amazing. Really just trying to encourage the body and encourage children. And, you know,
You know, in all our own ways, we're kind of worship leaders, right? If we're pointing people to God in some way, shape, or form. So Eloy, you're certainly doing that with Genesis, and as I watched people's eyes grow big when they were seeing, you know, how your, you know, performance and theatrical stuff there is really pointing them back to the main character, so to speak.
You know, Robbie, we all have talents. All of us have talents, and one day we're going to stand before God, and He's going to ask us, He's going to say, what did you do with the talent that I've given you? And some people have musical talents. Other people have accounting talents. You know, there's so much that can be done. I always like to share a story, and it's good for a saved man to share his story. When I was 12, my mother said, you know, Eloy, I want you to stand in that corner, and the bus is going to come and pick you up because you need to go to church. So I'm standing in that corner, and a bus pulls up. The bus pulls up, and it says, door opens up, and this guy says, boy, you going to church? And I said, yeah, I'm going to church. So I get in the bus. Get to the bus, go ahead, get into the church, and I'm there, and I'm sitting down, and I'm sitting down, the preacher's talking about hell and damnation, and he says, if you don't want to go to hell, come up here. I ran up there so quick, it was unbelievable. I got saved that day. I repented. I took God. I took Jesus as my Savior. And what a difference. I came home. My parents said, where have you been? I said, I went to the Baptist church and I got saved. They said, well, the Catholic bus showed up. They want to know where you were. I then went back to that church. And after I went back, every single time the preacher was preaching, I went up there and got saved for weeks. And he finally said to me, he goes, boy, you don't need to keep on coming up here. You're already saved.
That is an awesome story, Eloy.
But so, that's it. We should share each other. We should share our story because we all have a story with each other. And that's how the Genesis Project, the Genesis musical started. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there at our church, and we have a creationist, Russ Miller. And he's sitting there, I mean, he's preaching, and he's saying, he's talking about the six-day literal creation. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, it all made sense. It just made sense. And then I said to myself, you know, people, many times, they understand through music things that they don't understand through actually preaching. So I took the King James Bible, and I just said, all right, let me start writing a couple of little tunes. And so that's how it all started, right. Is just preaching the real word.
And music, music touches the heart, no doubt, where, you know, which is where the action is. By all means, it's in our heart where the stuff actually happens. So speaking of heart, Marcus, we're back to you. And I know a lot of listeners are probably wondering, Robbie, where are you going with this?
So, well, you haven't kicked me off yet. So
No. God's given you this. And obviously, I know some of the people you're associated with, which are wonderful, amazing. So I'm just going to try to reason with you here for a minute and see if we can get on the same page, because I don't think we're really as far away as people might think. But anyway.
Right.
You know, number one, if anybody has seen the horror of abortion, I mean, from a standpoint of I've interviewed maybe 200 or 300 women, because I've done interviews at the American Association of Christian Counselors events, and I don't even know how many women I've interviewed that had abortions. And I see that they feel they're murderers. I mean, I get that. And to see the look on one of these people's face and of what they've gone through and whatever, oh yeah, absolutely. You don't need to condemn them, believe me, because they feel they have all the condemnation they want. You know, Satan's making sure that he's going to hammer them with that all that he possibly can. And there, that gets back to the victim thing. See, I can't speak to you, but if I, right, get really, let's say I got really, really mad at you, then what's going to happen? Yeah. Or in these girls' cases, you know, they got involved in an encounter that obviously wasn't what they had planned for their life somehow, between them and their partner, mm-hmm. and some of them are even married. Mm-hmm. But obviously, something is enticing them to do things that they know better than to do, and then they're... Mm-hmm. And it's not that there's just them on the stage and God on the stage. We all have this accuser that's out there trying to, and he does victimize us. He gets us to do things that we know better than, and we certainly are accountable for it. I'm not taking away that part of it, but I don't want to take away the victim part, because I see these women, and some of them were raped. That was clearly a victim. Others of them, you know, their boyfriend did horrible things to them in order that this took place. So there's all sorts of stuff that I don't think it's exclusive that, oh yeah, murder is involved, unfortunately. But the challenge I have with saying that there's no victim there is that, number one, they have all the condemnation they need. And I would hope that somehow or another we can point what I consider these poor sinners like myself, only by the grace of God am I not in that group, right? I mean,
yeah,
believe
that,
me.
That's the point I was going to get to. the grace of God that gives us salvation, we receive that based on repentance. But if we don't repent, we're not going to stand before God, and he's going to overlook the sins in which we were victims of outside circumstances of. We're still going to be held accountable for our sins and guilty.
Yeah. So
the problem is with like people like let's say Abby Johnson and her Unplanned movie. She's Roman Catholic. She doesn't believe the gospel. She's very anti-gospel.
Whoa.
She is.
Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Have you read the Catholic Bible?
No.
You ought to read one.
Like,
you ought to read one. John 3:16 says the same thing in that Bible as it does in yours, okay? So I know that
to
categorically say that somebody, wait a minute, opposed. You can't categorically say somebody's not a Christian because they're a Catholic. I mean,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, I sure can.
What?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you think so?
Because they deny justification by faith. That's anathema.
Have you ever had a discussion about that very subject at length with one?
I have.
You have?
I mean, the Council of Trent, Vatican II, they all deny justification by faith. And Paul says if you deny justification by faith alone, you're anathema.
I understand.
Roman Catholicism is not Christianity.
You have no idea how many Catholics I've talked to that will tell me that they are accepting it by faith, that are going to say the things. But again, it's not a matter of what you necessarily say. It's a matter of what you believe, right? Isn't it going to be whether you believe by faith? Isn't it a gift?
If you believe
and
by
so
faith,
Catholics can't
God
get the gift because they are under that
an idolatrous system like Rome.
God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And as we talked about, we have a very diverse group with us today. We have Chad Stewart, who is the author of an amazing series, Bitfield and the Last Crown. You can find out about that at kingdompursuits.com, as well as Eloy Sherlock, who was with Genesis, the Biblical Musical Experience. And I got this wrong. Marcus Pittman is the one who has the Babies Are Still Murdered Here movie. I've got that written down wrong to begin with, and now I got to get it straight. And Chad Stewart is the one who is the author of Bitfield and the Last Crown. So, Chad, getting back to you.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, therein lies a story that honestly, you know, here's my kids still give me a hard time because I wouldn't let them watch Harry Potter when they were kids.
Sure.
Because it has all these messages that, you know, or would essentially make them victims of these lies that if they buy into, right, then they are accepting things that aren't the truth.
Correct.
And so, do you have children?
I don't. Actually, I'm not married. I haven't been.
So, but yet it's interesting. You have a passion for children and their understanding of the Bible.
I do. And I just have a passion for education. Always have. Have a great passion for teachers. And I've just seen, you know, what's happened to our educational system over the last decades, like I said. And so, you know, I just honor teachers. I mean, they're in such a difficult position. So many of them have been called to teach, but they're dealing with a lot of bureaucracy, especially in the public schools. They're paid, you know, not very much, which is, you know, a travesty and unnecessary, and really just a broken educational model and educational system. So, you know, part of what we're doing, what we've created with Bridfield is not just a book, it's a movement, and it's a movement in family values, it's a movement in education, a movement in creativity, and we're rolling across, you know, the nation, impacting schools, everything from private to public to charter to homeschool. Homeschool market is just a great fit for us, charter schools, the private, and we're even trying to get into and already into a couple of public schools. And it really just starts with, you know, one child, one teacher, one school at a time. And then we actually have a global campaign too. So this is part of a 3-year marketing plan. So we'll be in Europe next year, Eastern Europe, Asia, South America. So it's exciting. I mean, this is
exciting. I mean, it's just God's really
movement.
taken it and and gone with it. So that's been cool. So I moving along to Eloy, because you know, Eloy, I was really just thinking I would engage you in the conversation with Marcus, since clearly it sounds like your parents were Catholic or are Catholic.
My mother was Catholic, and I did, after I became saved, I would talk to her, and she would say things back to me about what she had learned, and I would simply say, that's not in the Bible. This is what's in the Bible. And so you can have those discussions with them. It's a sad thing with the Catholic Church. Yes, you can become saved in the Catholic Church, but it's in spite of. Amen. Yes, you can have saved people there, but it's always in spite of. It's a very difficult thing, very difficult, and especially prevalent in certain cultures. It's just sad. And I wanted to bring the true word of God to the people. And when we started playing, I was really surprised on how little knowledge people actually had. We would start playing in theaters, community theaters, and people would come up to me and they would say, "That Satan guy, why is he so mad and who is he?" And I was shocked that the public really didn't know who Satan was. So in Genesis, as we were doing it, I started looking at his story, the Morning Star. So I started going other places, and I inserted that into why how he had fallen. And then all of a sudden, people got it, and they were getting true doctrine, but enjoying it and watching it and seeing it come alive in front of them. So yes, you could say this particular group, that particular group, but more importantly, instead of attacking them, let's show them what the truth is and what does the Bible truly say. And that's what I'm all about.
Well, and Eloy, I commend you for that, especially, you know, and Marcus, you know, just to really kind of add another coal to the fire, I came out of the Church of Scientology myself. And because
of
that.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
And because of that,
you look behind.
They haven't killed you yet.
Well, they come after me. It's almost a daily thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have enough doctrine to refute them on 40,000 different things. I could quote stuff till the end of it. But you can argue with them all you want. And believe me, I get calls from them all the time. And you will make no progress.
That's right. The moment that you go ahead and you start with an argumentative position,
right,
they're going to start getting set in their ways, and
right,
they're not going to listen to
you. So the only way I ever make progress is say, man, I know what you've experienced in Scientology, and there's some really cool, amazing stuff, but man, let me tell you what I've experienced with Jesus and some things that I was not aware about when I was in Scientology, and start going with that, and then all of a sudden, every once in a while, I'll have one that'll call me back three or four times wanting to talk about Jesus rather than talk about Scientology.
Be an example.
I just want to be clear. I agree with all you guys are saying. There's no disagreement
I got to get to one other thing that I just feel is really critical, because when you look at the Abby Johnson, I've interviewed people in 40 Days for Life for 15 years. And look at the fruit, you know, a bad tree does not bear bad fruit. And when you look at the fruit of what happened in the Abby Johnson situation, I mean, that abortion clinic was shut down. This girl was taken out of leading people into abortion, into leading people out of abortion. So the fruit.
The problem is that Abby Johnson is very openly and passionately against the preaching of the gospel at abortion clinic. I know abortion clinics that have been shut down because of the preaching of the gospel. And so she actively speaks against that. She even said on Glenn Beck, they were laughing, Glenn Beck and her, Glenn Beck, a Mormon, by the way, and her were laughing about people who have signs with aborted babies. And it's like, well, you can't have signs with aborted babies,
when you can
have an R-rated movie.
Marcus, she's actively against preaching the gospel, what does that mean exactly?
She is actively against the preaching of repentance and the proclamation of Jesus at the abortion clinic. she said on the Glenn Beck show that if she was out there at the abortion clinic and there were people silently praying, she would have never gone in. But because there were people out there preaching, and she conflates this all the time. She conflates people dressed up in like you know, like.
And what she's talking about, Marcus, by the way, in my opinion, because I've heard Abby, and I'm glad that you did delineate that, because I want you to listen to what I have to say. Please, 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 just listen, okay? What she is actually saying, in my opinion, again, we could get her on to get her interpretation, is that when people start calling you a murderer as you're walking into the abortion clinic, you're not going to listen to a thing they have to say. Now, if that's preaching the gospel because you're calling me a murderer, then we have a lot different direction on what preaching the gospel is.
We can't call someone a murderer before they kill their child. What we say is if you go in there and murder your child, you will stand before God as a murderer, and he will hold you accountable for the death of your child.
And what her opinion is, And she's lived it more than anybody else. When you use that terminology and you add the condemnation in there, the people, it makes the situation worse rather than trying to find some point that you could actually try to help the person.
But the Bible says that the law, the preaching of the law, is the schoolmaster that leads us to Jesus. You have to tell people that they've sinned against God before they can come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth.
Well, grace is how it worked for me. I know grace is how it works for most of the people
grace
that I know. That you know,
grace
is part of the package. And when you can sense grace in somebody, means that you act like they're your favorite, not like somebody you think is a murderer, Marcus. We will have more when we come back. Stay tuned. Back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And you can tell we have passion today here on Kingdom Pursuits. We have Marcus Pittman in his movie, Babies Are Still Murdered Here. And we have Eloy Sherlock with his amazing biblical music experience, Genesis. And Chad Stewart, the author of Britfield and The Last Crown, and you know, I feel remiss, Chad, that I have not let you in on this, because unfortunately we can't take three lines all at the same time.
Oh, no problem.
But I would, you know, I don't want to leave you out. If you have something you want to say, and by the way, let me just point out to Marcus and Eloy, my wife points it out to me all the time that I'm quite often wrong. So now I may sound like I'm, you know, completely convicted that I'm always right, but I'm not. I get that. And in heaven, I'm sure we're going to work some of this stuff out. But I'm very interested in your view on what we're talking about, Chad.
It's a great debate. It depends what topic, because you guys are crossing over from abortion.
Well, anything that steps up, you know, that your heart is wanting to speak out to, whether it's the abortion issue or the Catholic issue or whatever it is, you just, you know, like, man, God is tugging on your heartstrings to say something. So I just want to give you an opportunity to say it, since you're in the conversation. I was like, it's
sure,
only fair.
Sure. Well, I just, you know, I think, I mean, we're all sinners, you know, and not to speak the obvious, but I mean, I'm repenting every morning and trying to walk the walk, and it's difficult. So I think if we walk in love and walk in passion, but I agree, these are very heated issues. Both these gentlemen are doing a great job, you know, taking the fight to the enemy. We need to be on the offensive, not the defensive. We need to take back our schools. We need to take back our government. I mean, it's really not a political problem. It's a God problem, you know. But, that's kind of why we've all been called to certain fields, and we're all doing the best that we can. That's why I've been called to this particular area, education and writing, and really trying to give children an alternative. You know, a lot of people complain about how bad, you know, films and movies are. We'll do something about it. And there are a lot of Christian filmmakers that are doing some great films out there, and I love it. I mean, I think that whole thing has evolved over the last 10 years. You know, we don't need Hollywood anymore.
Yeah, the power of story. You know, I saw Rich Cristiano last week. He was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and he taught me this one time. I've never forgot it. He said, if you don't believe in the power of story, he said, ask anybody you want if they can remember what their pastor's sermon was 6 weeks ago.
Exactly.
And then ask them, what the dog, what Dorothy's dog's name was in The Wizard of Oz.
Sure. Well, that's just it. Yeah. I mean, that's like what we're doing with the schools is we're bringing, you know, creativity and storytelling. I talk to them about the power of story. And I love it at Christian schools because I could say, who's the greatest storyteller of all times? And usually, you know, we'll have a unanimous, you know, vote that Jesus was a great storyteller. And he took complicated issues and put them into parables and stuff. And that's really what it's all about, just telling a great story. And that's what we're trying to do with, you know, the Britfield and the Britfield story and the books and the movement. And storytelling is incorporated really in everything, you know. And so that's a powerful, powerful vehicle. It really is all about story, you know. And I teach this in college classes, whether it's marketing or film and media or whatever topic or subject or even management, you know, if people turning in their resume, you know what I mean? And how well is that story told? Or if you're at an interview, it's the story you tell about yourself and how powerful that story is. And really articulating your words, and being concise, and being exciting, and you know, so story is huge.
It is, and it's a big part of what you're doing too, Eloy, right? And you're taking, you know, obviously Genesis is quite a story. It's got all those characters, and it's really, really powerful. Especially, I'm trying to think of the character's name. That is it, Lamech.
And these characters, people aren't familiar with, and it's so surprising. I want to get back to something when you were going ahead and you were talking. We're talking about the preaching and the abortion. Always remember and always go back to what does the Bible say when it speaks about preaching? It says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Don't spend all your time on one without bringing the others into it. So just like in Genesis, it reproves. It rebukes and exhorts. When Noah comes out and he is coming out of the ark, he has the rainbow and his God saying, go forth and multiply. He has a whole new world to go ahead and to do what is right. Where do we come from? What is our purpose in life? Who are we? These are all the questions that are answered in Genesis. And what a beautiful thing it is to be able to watch the audience as they cry, they smile, they just go through so much emotions. And they're learning. And that's what you want. You want people to have a true want, a desire in their heart to be closer to the Lord.
Yeah, that's beyond cool. And I hate that this is over. We didn't get back to Marcus. But you can find out about his movie. You can find out more about Genesis, the musical experience, and, of course, Britfield, The Last Crown. It's all at kingdompursuits.com. Now stay tuned. We got so much truth coming at you. Encouraging Prayer with James Banks, followed by The Masculine Journey, starts here now at 12 o'clock. Thank you for listening to Kingdom Pursuits.